This. Genesis chapter 21, and we're continuing our series on the God of the impossible. And we've looked at many impossible situations over the past few weeks. We started off with the impossible storm and how we saw the disciples at their wit's end as they were in that boat. The Lord had told them to go to the other side, and yet as they followed the Lord's command and they were in the center of the Lord's will, as it were, they were still in a storm. And Christ, as we know, calmed the storm and resolved the situation they found themselves in. Then we looked at the impossible supply. We looked at the widow and Elijah and her son, and we saw how God took just a tiny amount of meal and oil and how that fed the family, the widow, the son, and the prophet for 3 years, and we worked it out to be over 3,000 meals that had been provided in that period just with that tiny amount of provisions. And we looked at the God of the impossible supply. We've seen the God of the impossible sickness, the woman with the issue of blood. And we've seen how stressed she was and how difficult the situation she was. And she knew if she could just get to Jesus, not talk to him or, you know, receive anything from him, if she could just touch his garment, she knew that she would be okay. And we saw the faith that she had and how God undertook in that situation. We saw the impossible snare. We saw how Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And oftentimes we face great times of temptation and we think, there's no way out of this. I'm going to have to give in and commit this particular sin. And there's no way I cannot go down this road. And God always provides a way of escape. Warren Wiersbe said, it is better to flee and lose your clothes than to stay and lose your character. And we saw how God of the impossible snare, when those sins and temptations trap us and snare us, God always provides a way of escape. And then we saw the God of the impossible splendor. When we face those giants in our lives, Goliath means splendor. And David came up against Goliath, but it wasn't the fact that, I think Jo said to me after I finished that message that night, she said, oh, what I always like is the fact that most of Israel saw that Goliath was so big that they couldn't fight him, but David saw that Goliath was so big he couldn't miss him. And I like that, you know, and then we see that God is the God of the impossible, that impossible splendor. Sometimes situations and circumstances and trials and difficulties seem so big that we're overwhelmed by them. We're like, this is so big, we can't face them. But guess what? It's so big you can't miss. You can't help but defeat that situation because God will make a way. Because he's the God of the impossible. And tonight, I want us to look at the God of the impossible stress. How many of you have ever been stressed out? Funny enough, it's all the women. God, there's a couple of men's hands going up. How many times have you felt like you're about to implode because of stress? You know, stress has been defined as the silent killer. It's something that really can't be, you can't really be prescribed anything for you. You don't really see it come in because situations get to a point where they build and build and build, and in the end, something snaps. It's like passing that point of elasticity. It's going beyond that yield point so that eventually you just absolutely break. God is the God of the impossible. And even when we find ourselves in the most stressful of situations and the most stressful of times and the most stressful of circumstances, God will see us through. He always will. Genesis 21 and verse 9. And we see a family, if you like, that is involved in a stressful situation and a stressful circumstance. Verse 9 says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman, and shall not be an heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous unto Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to gather together in this way. And Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Father, I pray that maybe there is one here tonight who is facing a stressful time, maybe a stressful time at home, maybe a stressful time in work, maybe stressed because of a health situation, maybe stressed because of a personal issue that they face, maybe stressed because of some sin that besets them. Maybe they are stressed generally, Lord, because of things that are happening in their life that they can't quite pinpoint. But Father, I pray that they would understand tonight that there is, even while physicians may not be able to help, there is somebody at our disposal, the great physician, who can lay a hand upon each and every one and can ease the burden of this stress that we find ourselves in. Father, I'm thankful that when we face times and difficulties that we might think are absolutely impossible, we are thankful that we recognize the fact that with men it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And Father, we are thankful that we serve a God of impossible things tonight. Father, we love you and we praise you, and we just ask that you'd speak to our hearts tonight in Christ's name. Amen. This story opens up in the home of Abraham. Now, Abraham may have been the father of a nation, but his family life was anything but perfect. As we know, Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. Sarah had acquired a handmaid by the name of Hagar when they were in Egypt. And Sarah convinces Abraham to lie with Hagar so that Hagar could conceive a child on her behalf, and then they could raise this child as their own. She did, and Ishmael is born. And according to Genesis 16, this caused nothing but trouble for Abraham. Not just for Abraham, it caused trouble for Sarah and also for Hagar. Sarah was jealous of Hagar and her baby. Hagar was jealous of Sarah because of the relationship she had with Abraham. Abraham is caught in the middle. Can I say this to you? Men understand that it is difficult to please one woman, let alone trying to please two women. That's why I'll always change my sat-nav to a male voice and not a female voice. I don't want two women in the car telling me that I've gone wrong. Things have come to a head. There is, if you like, an all-out civil war. And Sarah says, Sarah, they finally have this child, Isaac. And Ishmael is mocking Isaac. And Sarah finally says, Abraham, I can't cope with this. This arrangement is not working. This is not good. It is causing division. It's causing me to fret. It's causing me to stress. They need to be gone. Hagar finds herself in a desperate situation. In the midst of a terrible time, she has a powerful encounter with an almighty God. And the Lord asks Hagar this question in verse 17. What aileth thee, Hagar? Can I put it in modern day language? Hagar, what is stressing you out? What are you stressed about? Can I ask you the question tonight? What aileth thee? What are you stressing about tonight? What is causing you in your life right now great stress? Maybe you feel like at any moment you could crack, you could come apart, You could implode, explode, or simply lose it completely. Can I say that God has a word of hope for us in these verses? First of all, we see the stress of rejection. Things have been tense in Abraham's tent for many years. And in this passage, Isaac is about three because we are told that the child grew in verse 8 and was weaned. So he's around about 3 years of age. And that would have made Ishmael around about 17. And they celebrate then as Isaac matures from a baby to a little boy. And Abraham is thrown a feast. They celebrate then. And during this time, Ishmael makes some comment, mocks what is going on. And things come to a head. And Hagar faces a terrible time of rejection. Ishmael is making fun of Isaac and the festivities. The word there is mocking. And that word mocking is actually a strong word. And it's a strong form of the name Isaac. Isaac means laughter. So it's a stronger form of that word. So if you like, Ishmael is using a play on words. So he's kind of calling Isaac's name, but he's using it in a way that's derogatory. So he's mocking Isaac. Ishmael here sees all his hopes of inheritance gone. Whatever hope he had of the right of the firstborn, of any inheritance from Abraham, he realizes that that is disappearing. Those hopes are dashed in Isaac. He knew that Isaac was the son of promise. God had made a promise to Sarah. Can you imagine Abraham keeping quiet about that promise? Maybe, the servants in the household, maybe the people that Abraham has brought with him has said, "Oh, Abraham, any news yet? Any news on Sarah?" Because Abraham has told them, "God has made me a promise, and we will have a son." Every day, maybe Ishmael has heard the same thing. "Oh, Abraham, when is the son of promise coming? When is that promise that God made you going to be fulfilled?" And he's getting fed up with it, and fed up with it, and fed up with it. And finally, he sees that boy. And he knows that his hope of inheritance is gone. He knows that Isaac is the son of promise. He realizes that he will never be anything more than he is right now. And he's just envious of Isaac. Sarah sees this mocking, sees this contempt that Ishmael has for Isaac. And she demands that Hagar and Ishmael be sent away. The phrase "cast out" means to be driven away forcefully. It's not being asked to leave, it's actually being evicted. They have to go. And when you think about it, you might think, "Well, what's the big deal? Why, he was only playing, let children be children." But what he was doing when he was mocking Isaac, he was actually mocking God. He was mocking God's people. Isaac was the one through whom the nation of Israel would come. He was mocking God's promise. Isaac was the son of promise. It was a promise that God had made to Abraham. He was mocking God's power. Don't forget, Abraham and Sarah are well past the age of being able to bear any children. So Isaac was a miracle baby. God was so great that Ishmael is mocking God's power. He's mocking God's provision, because through Isaac, who would come? The Messiah. The Messiah would come through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and so on, through David and all the way down. So the Messiah would come through Isaac. Sarah wants them gone, wants them driven away. And it says in verse 11, the thing was very grievous unto Abraham because of his son. Abraham is reluctant to do what Sarah is demanding. And this puts Abraham in a difficult position. And how many of you have ever done this? I do this all the time. I agree to do something for somebody, and then maybe somebody else asks you to do something, and you say, yeah, I can do that. And you realize that there's a clash. And then you're trying to effectively please two people, or try and fit two people, and that can cause quite a bit of stress. Have you ever done anything similar? We've overcommitted, maybe, maybe you're a go-between for a family member, and it's just that torn loyalties, as it were. And it's hard. It's stressful. And that's where Abraham finds himself. Ishmael is still his son. And yet he's got to cast him away. Sarah is his wife. Anybody who's ever done any premarital discipleship with me knows what I'm going to say next. Perfect. Happy wife, happy life. Abraham is not going to have a happy life if Sarah's not happy. And he doesn't know what to do. And it's amazing how the Lord comes alongside. And this is the thing. Oftentimes when we don't know what to do, when we're torn, whether we're torn between two people, whether we're torn between two decisions, whether we're torn between two directions, and it is absolutely ripping us apart inside, and we're getting so stressed about it, we need to pray. And just simply say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And honestly, I don't want to please this person or that person. I want to please you. What would you have me to do? And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The word grievous there, where God said, let it not be grievous in thy sight. The word grievous means to tremble or quiver. This decision that Abraham has to make is making him tremble and quiver to the very bone, as it were. It shook Abraham to his core. There's no doubt he loved Ishmael. I'm sure that he had feelings for Hagar, and he didn't know what to do. And that was a hard morning for Abraham, to obey God's voice and to send Hagar and Ishmael away. But here's the thing. There's a much harder morning coming in the next chapter. And if Abraham wasn't able to be obedient to the Lord in sending Hagar and Ishmael away and trusting the Lord, the next chapter, the Lord is going to ask him to go to a place called Mount Moriah and to take Isaac and to offer him there a sacrifice. Abraham simply had to trust the Lord in everything. And oftentimes we do get stressed out. And when we're stressing, we're not trusting. And we need to trust the Lord in situations. Listen, that doesn't mean that we're going to understand the situation anymore that we're in. It doesn't mean that the situation is going to be rectified straight away. Nothing may change. But the mindset will change. And the internal battle will change. Listen, Satan goes after our mind. He can't get our heart, so he goes after the mind. And if he can get you to doubt yourself, to doubt your salvation, to doubt your walk with the Lord, to doubt every decision you've ever made, you know what? He's going to win that battle. And we've got to tear down the strongholds of our mind. We've got to put on the helmet of salvation, recognize what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize what our salvation has done, recognize what we have at our disposal, recognize the privilege and the power and the presence of God in our lives, and just trust him. Because if we don't, it'll cook our heads. We'll be stressed. Abraham honored the Lord in both cases. He sends Ishmael away, and that was simply a preparation for something far greater that he was going to have to do in the coming chapter. If Abraham had refused to give up Ishmael, he would never have gone through giving up Isaac, as it were. And we all know that life can be like that sometimes. Things can be going well one moment, and then just in a phone call, everything can change. Our world can fall apart. We've got to trust the Lord at every instance we face. Sickness comes, people die, relationships fall apart, finances fail, depression rears its head, difficulties arise. And that's a fact of life sometimes. But what we can't let it do is affect this. Because if this is affected, if our head is affected, our feet will be affected. What does that mean? If we stop trusting in him, we'll stop living for him. The realities of life is that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Some of you have been there. Some of you are there right now. Some of you are headed there at this moment in time. And God will see you through. He's promised to see us through. In fact, he's promised to walk us through the situation we find ourselves in. Even if we've made that situation ourselves, even if the stress, as it were, is self-inflicted, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. We see the stress of rejection. Then we see the stress of reality. In verse 15, Hagar is given a bottle of water and she's sent away. In verse 15, it says that the water was spent in the bottle and she cast the child under one of the shrubs and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. I wonder why Abraham sent him away with just a bottle of water and just a little bread when they had the resources to take care of all their needs, as it were. And I think he was just taking God at his word. He simply realized that, or released Ishmael and Hagar into God's hands. And they're in a desperate situation. They literally, at this point, Hagar and Ishmael have come to the end of their tether. They have come to a point where there's nothing else I can do. I've done all I can physically and I'm done. I'm spent. And that's how life can be sometimes. We can come to the end of our tether. We can come to a point where we think, I can't take no more. I physically, mentally and spiritually cannot take any more. I can't go through any more trouble. I can't go through any more valleys. I can't go through any more stress. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 1:8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." The word measure there, when he says that we were pressed out of measure, it means to throw beyond. God took Paul out of his comfort zone. God took Paul beyond anything that Paul could physically handle on his own. And sometimes the burdens of life are more than we can bear. Even when the burdens of life exceed our ability to bear them, guess what? They never exceed his ability to bear them. Because Paul went on to say then in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 1, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Can I say this to you? Whatever situation you're in right now, he will deliver you. Why? Because he's promised to deliver us. Again, that doesn't mean that the situation will disappear or will miraculously improve. And that may be the case. The situation may improve. But if it doesn't, God will deliver you in the situation. He'll get you through it. And he'll get you through it intact. It might not feel like it at the time, but you'll come through it battle-hardened. Hagar is at her wit's end. Her heart is broken. She knows that Ishmael is going to die. She sets him off, as it were, a bow shot. A bow shot was about 1,000 feet, about as far as a bow could be fired. That's about 1,000 feet. She leaves him there. She goes off to weep. She found herself in a situation that she could not fix, that she could not escape, that she could not explain, that she was not in control. And guess what? Most of us want to control our lives. We want everything to be perfect. How many of you write lists? And I know there's lots of you who will list right there. We want everything in order. We want to tick it off our list. We want it perfect. And we want it all worked out from beginning to end. And life's not like that. Life is sometimes cruel. Life is sometimes unfair. Life sometimes takes us in a direction we didn't want to go in. Life takes us sometimes in a direction that we are unprepared for. And some of us get stressed then when we can't control those anomalies in our lives. When those curveballs are thrown at us, as it were. When those tangents come in our lives. We can't control them. And we like to be in control. Now, we might not all be control freaks, but we do like to be in control of our lives. And sometimes we just have to let go. I heard one pastor used to say, Pastor Ed used to say, sometimes we need to let go and let God. We just need to give it to him. Hagar comes to the point where she cannot fix it. But she had God's promise. She had God's promise back in Genesis 16 and verse 10 to 11. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. She had a promise from God. He wasn't going to let them die out there in the wilderness. In that moment of desperation, Hagar's pain blinded her to God's promise. And we can be the same way in our stress. You know, and I don't know if I should say this because you might look at me differently. I'm not perfect. Amen. That might come as a shock to some. But I'm not perfect. And you know, sometimes I'd be talking with Jo about something. She said, well, my pastor said. And I'm like, really? Are you going to throw that at me now? Why would you say stuff like that? Why would you quote me at myself? That's not fair. But sometimes we forget. And we get into situations and we stress about it. And we overanalyze things and we think about it and dwell upon it. And in the end, all of that stress crowds out the fact that God is waiting there for us to simply come to him and ask for his strength and his help. And we forget his promises. And he's made those promises us to not forsake us, even in times of difficulty. You know, at David's most lowest time, God was there with him in that valley of the shadow of death. He's promised to hear our cry. He's promised to be with us. He's promised to answer our prayer. He's promised to strengthen us. He's promised us that we'd get through those difficult situations with him. But when we are in those times of difficulty and stress and we're overwhelmed, we forget the promises of God. That's why we've got to come back to the Word. Just to remind ourselves. You know, I got a thing in the front of my other Bible off my BAMP, and my BAMP's Bible is absolutely battered and fallen apart because it was just read so much. It is literally held together by sheer willpower because it is broken so much. But in the front of his Bible, he just had a list of emergency passages of Scripture. In times of despair, read this psalm. In times of fear, read this verse. When you're afraid, read this. When you feel lonely, read this. When you are forsaken by friends, read this. And it's just a list of passages, of promises that have been made to us. When we face those difficulties, listen, those situations might catch us by surprise, but it doesn't catch God by surprise. And God has already given us the promises for those situations. He's already given us the verses for those situations. He's already given us the antidote, if you like, for the stress that's going on in our minds. And he's already made a way for us. But in those difficult times, nothing makes sense. And we don't want to listen to reason. How many of you have been so stressed, and maybe your spouse has come to you and said, listen, maybe it'll be okay, and they try to reason with you, and there is absolutely no reasoning with you whatsoever because your mind is in such a mess. How many of you, husbands, wives, have got into an argument, and you know, do you know what, I got to leave it, because they're not going to listen to reason now for about 24 hours, I'll come back and see them tomorrow, because they're unreasonable. It's never happened to me personally. But sometimes it's the same with God. God has made us these promises, but we are so stressed about it. We can't see the wood for the trees. We can't hear his voice as a way. We can't see these promises. Life does hurt at times. Sometimes it hurts bad. Sometimes we want to run away from problems. Sometimes we want that ostrich mentality where we can just bury our head in the sands. But guess what? God is going to make our path straight. He's made a way for us. If we can just learn to trust him. Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. When we're stressed, we don't pray. Or when we pray in a stressed condition, we're like what James says, we ask amiss. That's why we may be not getting through to the Lord, as it were. We don't know what Hagar prayed. We don't even know if Hagar did pray. But it says in verse 17 that God heard the voice of the lad. Ishmael, the very name Ishmael means God will hear. And that's the thing. No matter what you face tonight, God will hear. He will hear our prayers. Prayer is an ever-present resource for us. We can run to him anytime. We can run to him anywhere, wherever we find ourselves, whatever situation, whatever time of desperation, whatever situation we face in life, we can run to him. Ask, Luke 11:9 says, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. I like what one preacher said. Prayer should be our first priority, not the final straw. Problems are going to come into our lives. And sometimes they will come unwanted and unannounced. They will come and they will hurt us deeply. When they come, don't delay. Run to the Lord. He may change the situation, or he may change us in the situation. The difference between Paul's attitude in trouble and mine is that I don't welcome trouble in my life. I would rather it not come. Because let's be honest, we would rather have an easier life. Paul welcomed trouble because he knew it was an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord and to grow from the trouble that came his way. Could we say that we would openly welcome trouble so that we could grow in the Lord? We see the stress of rejection, the stress of reality. The reality is troubles will come our way. But then we see the supply of his resources. God heard the voice in verse 17 of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled a bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Hagar was so overcome by her stress that she didn't even see the resources that were right in front of her. She had a bottle. That bottle ran out. And she's so stressed out about the situation, she doesn't even notice the well of water that's right in front of her. She finally comes to a point where the Lord answers her prayer, opens her eyes and says, look, here is the resource. Do we understand the resource that is at our disposal in the Lord? They were in the right place at the right time, believe it or not. God had a plan in all of this. Turn with me quickly to Galatians chapter 4. And we'll see the plan that God had in this impossible situation. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which journeyeth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, that thou that travailest not. For the desolate have many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman, her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Paul speaks of this episode in Hagar and Ishmael's life as an illustration of salvation. Sarah is a picture of the grace of God. Hagar is a picture of the law of works. Isaac is a picture of faith. Ishmael is a picture of the flesh. Grace and law are incompatible. So are the flesh and faith. Ishmael represents the efforts of the flesh, and he had to go so the son of faith might obtain the rightful place. The pain and suffering were both part of God's plan, both in the short term and in the long term. And the same is true for us. Whatever it is we are facing now is for a reason and can be used by God for a far greater purpose. And we might not understand what that purpose is right now. And to be honest with you, we may not understand why we've gone through what we've gone through until we get the glory. And sometimes it's difficult to trust the Lord in a trying situation. Sometimes it's difficult to hear his voice. Sometimes it's difficult for our prayers to get through. But we need to recognize the fact that no matter what it is that we are facing, whether we understand it or not, we have the resource of his presence. We were told in verse 17 of chapter 21 of Genesis that God heard the voice of the lad. God was there. We have the resource of his presence. Hagar didn't know it, but God was there all the time. We might not feel his presence in our lives. We might feel like at the most desperate time of our lives and in the most difficult time of our situations, we feel all alone. But he'll never leave us. Never. I like that word that Brother Trevor used this morning. Never, ever, 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 ever. What an awesome word. And God will never leave us. We have the resource of his presence. We have the resource of his promise. Hagar was promised what exactly would happen back 5 chapters earlier. We have the resource of his promise. The psalmist says, Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He'll take care of us in everything that we face. We have the resource of his provision. When Hagar opened her eyes, the well was right there. There are two words, this is really interesting. There are two words in the Old Testament referring to well. One speaks of an artesian well or a spring of water. That's the kind of well that occurs naturally. The word here used for well is a dug well. You remember, Isaac will go on and dig many wells, and they'll battle about the wells that have been dug. This is one of those wells. So what that means is that someone came along long before Hagar and Ishmael get to this point, and they dug that well right there. God knew where Hagar and Ishmael would be, knew the spot that they would be, and he'd already provided for them at that very spot. Can I say this to you, that whatever you are facing right now, God has already provided for you in that situation. We have a God who works on both ends. He works at the beginning and the end of our difficulties, if you like. He's already in our tomorrow. He's already taken care of our tomorrow. But our problems blind us to his provisions. He can open our eyes. He can show us that we have everything that we need. You ever said to your child, when they faced a difficulty, or you know, when they'd run in from playing and they'd cut themselves, and the first thing you say was, come here, I got you. Do you ever see that? You ever grab them in your arms and pull them up onto your lap and say, I got you. I got you. Can I say that sometimes we just need to simply come to the Lord so he can say to us, I got you. I got you in this. I've already taken care of tomorrow. Don't load yourself up with tomorrow's burdens. I've taken care of tomorrow. Just come here. I've got you. What aileth thee? What is causing you an insurmountable amount of stress in your life right now? Does it feel impossible? Do you think there is no way I am ever getting through this? There is no way I'm ever getting back to where I was with the Lord before this happened. There is no way I'm ever going to get through this difficulty. There's no way that this difficulty is ever going to be resolved. There's no way that I'm ever going to see a way out of this. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we just need to come to the Lord. Just cast our cares upon him. It doesn't mean that we'll understand what we're going through. It doesn't mean that what we go through disappears. But it just means we trust him for his presence, for his provision, and for his promise. God gave Hagar a well. But what did she do? Look at verse 19. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water and she went and filled the bottle. God gave Hagar a well and she's still living off the bottle. God's given us a well. Let's live off the well. Let's go to where he's provided. Just simply means to stop trying to work it out ourselves. We might never understand what it is we're going through. We might never come to terms fully with what we're going through. But God's provided a way for us to get through it. Not in our strength, but in his strength. What aileth thee? What's causing you stress? What are you stressing about? Give it to the Lord, because he'll hear our prayers and he will make a way. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you, Father, for the fact that you are the God of the impossible. Father, if there's one here tonight who is facing a situation that is so difficult, that is causing them great stress, that's causing them anguish and fear and desperation and discouragement, Lord, we understand that that could eventually lead to depression. And Father, I just pray that you would strengthen those hearts tonight. Lord, you know where each and every one of your children is right now. You know where everybody is in this building, in their walk with you, in the situations they face, whether it is in school, in work, whether it's at home, whether it's again in their spiritual lives, whatever it is, Lord, you know exactly what is being faced. You know what is causing stress in certain lives here tonight. And Father, I just pray you would help us to realize the resources that are at our disposal. Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight, that you would encourage in the situations that are being faced, and that you would help to realize that there is victory, even though the situations may not change. There is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that you will give us that strength, that you will provide that well, as it were, that you've already provided a way for us to get through what it is we're facing. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to trust you and to not allow ourselves to stress and to worry and to cause ourselves to be in such despair that we're not able to pray. We're not able to worship you. We're not able to enjoy our salvation because of what we're facing. So Father, as David prayed, would you restore to us the joy of our salvation? Would you take this stress away? Even though the situation seems impossible, may you help us to have the strength we need to face what it is we're going through. I'm thankful that we can face these difficulties with you right by our side. I would rather face a difficult situation with you than never face a difficult situation in my life without you. So, Father, I just pray for your will to be done in our lives tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together. Down at the cross where my Saviour died. Amen. And we'll stand as we sing. Before we close in a word of prayer, if just all the dads who were here this morning can see me on the way out, we've got a little gift for you, and there should be enough to go around for everyone. And we've got a little something for everyone else as well, because people get really jealous when we give stuff out and they're not included. So there's a gift for everybody in this politically correct world in which we live. Amen. It's lovely to have Kevin and Anna with us tonight. So I wonder if Pastor Kevin, you close us in a word of prayer. Amen.